Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the CricBlog podcast. Lots of test cricket on at the moment, and some talk and some news about Australia's batting lineup, which we'll talk about in this podcast episode. Sharbel here, Australia fan, alongside my co-host, India fan, Nash. Nash, how's things? Weather improving in Melbourne, I hear?
Yes, it is. It is. The spring is early here in Melbourne, which is good. And the cricket season is starting as well. The club cricket season is starting in Australia, almost there.
Yes.
Must have started in Queensland, I think. But yeah, it's almost there. So lots to look forward to. Lots of mind games have already started around the India-Australia Border Gavaskar Trophy series. And it's been fun. It's going to be fun.
Lots of talk about that series, particularly around Australia's batting lineup. And for me, that's probably a bit of a worry at the moment, because I think that's something we should have sort of sorted out last summer, right? You had the two tests against West Indies and then New Zealand, and we put Steve Smith as opener when we all had questions about that. Matt Hayden's come out and said it's crazy, and there's been some others who've been critical of it. And now you've got a situation where you put Steve Smith back at four. You know, and then what do you do with the opening spot now? You know, I don't think a Border Gavaskar Trophy is the right time to try find those answers. You need to have those answers set in stone before.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think Australia missed a beat last summer by not trying a new opener, and because
yes.
Okay. It's India this summer. It's England next summer. So there's two massive summers of cricket for Australia in Australia. And given Australia's history in the last 10, 15 years against India, home or away, I think it's going to be a really tough series for Australia if they don't get their ducks in order. And
we don't want ducks, ducks, Nash. Wrong word.
I think if Steve Smith is still an opener, I think I see him struggling as an opener. He did struggle last summer as well, but with the likes of Bumrah and Siraj and Shami, I think those bowlers are far more superior to Pakistan's bowlers, and I think they will give him a lot of trouble with the new ball.
Yeah, look, Smith didn't open against Pakistan, but even then, even at four, he wasn't in his best form.
Yep.
I wouldn't put it past him to succeed at opener, but I just don't like the I look at him as much more likely to succeed at four. That's where he's done the best work in Test cricket. But then you find yourself in a position where we spoke about this, right, last year. If you put, say, Cameron Green at four and he performs well, which he did in New Zealand, he won us a Test match there, crucial. And when you look at the World Test Championship standings now, he won us a game. What do you do with him now? Is he out of the team? Does he go to opener? Does he go to six and you leave Mitch Marsh out? What do you do?
The question for the management is who's more important? And the answer is obviously Steve Smith.
That's right. So
who's
I
more
agree
important
with that.
as a cricketer, as a player, as what value they both bring to the team? The thing is, Cameron Green is a potential future captain of this team, and if you prefer Steve Smith over Cameron Green, even though Cameron Green has been performing with bat and ball and in the field, what does that do for his confidence, you know, in the future? And what does that show to the youngsters coming into this, you know, in domestic cricket? And what does that do for the other 10 players in the team that are already there? And it's a bit, I think it seems to me that for Steve Smith, I think the ideology that this team management has put in place is that Steve Smith comes first. We sort of try and see what happens after that.
Yeah.
And that it does feel a bit like that, because yes, you're right. He didn't open against Pakistan, but he did open against West Indies. And after David Warner retired, and even then it was a struggle, because I was hoping to see Steve Smith at number four and probably, you know, bring in a new opener who have been performing in the domestic circuit, or try someone like Cameron Bancroft, who has that international experience, who has been going all guns blazing in the domestic circuit in the Sheffield Shield for the last two years.
And he's been doing well in county as well, hasn't he? So
exactly.
I think he would have been the right option to go at opener last summer, where you can give him those West Indies tests, Test him out in tricky conditions in New Zealand as well, see what he's made of. The India attack, the nature of this series, how big it is not the time to be
No.
testing things out and seeing what might work. Now, there are some hints from Cummins and Bailey, from what I've been reading in reports, that they're going to stick with the same top six, which is Smith at opener. Say it doesn't work in the first two tests, what do you do then? So you need it to work. You've got to be hoping that it works. And the problem is that we don't have any test matches until that India series to find out whether it will work or not. That's the challenge. So they knew that last year that the New Zealand tests were the last ones before the Border Gavaskar trophy. And you have to win that series, not only because of the World Test Championship points, but just what's happened the last 10 years. We've lost home and
Look, I
away to
think
India. We need that trophy back.
exactly, and well, not exactly. India needs to see, you know,
From an
still hold the
Australia
trophy. But
perspective, yeah. Well,
what I
yeah.
mean, my question to you is, as an Australian fan, as an Australian cricket follower, if you see an opener coming into this Border Gavaskar Trophy, if you had to choose one from the domestic circuit, who would it be? Give us some options, and if not, do you see Steve Smith still being successful? Let's say a couple of hundreds in the series against this bowling lineup.
But to bring in an opener from domestic circuit, it's got to be the guy who's performed really, really well, and that's Cameron Bancroft. But then you fear that he hasn't been in the test fold for a little while, and the step up in class is going to be huge, right? So there's a risk there. That's the option that comes to my mind. There is the option of Matt Renshaw. I'm a big fan of him, but whether it's too soon for him, I don't know. But I love Renshaw. I think he's still got that potential to succeed at test level. I think they'll start with Smith. That's my view, and the hope is that he performs well. I think, look, Smith is a student of the game. We know that. He'll watch a lot of video. He'll watch a lot. He'll be studying how he performed at opener. Look at the video how he was dismissed. Even look at how far he was going across his stumps to try cover the swing. I think that was the thing. He's got to go back to, I think, what worked at four. Keep it simple, stay still, and don't move around as much. He's moving too far across his stumps and getting caught in front of the stumps, LBW, and playing at deliveries he shouldn't be, typically that he would leave and nicking off to slip. I think those are the couple of things I reckon he'll look to adjust on, and maybe he could succeed there. But yeah, you're
And the
leaving it
thing
rather,
is,
to hope.
exactly. And the thing is, bowlers like Bumrah and Shami will look to capitalize on that quickly. They won't let him get away with runs, maybe a couple of, you know, fours here and there, but they will look to sort of tighten
No,
that line and length
they're not going to
quickly.
give you much. They're very, very good. Yep, it's a good attack. So
Exactly.
you're going to have to be on your game and try to be as still and keep it as simple as possible. You'd
Yep.
be
And
fascinated to see his
look,
approach.
from an Indian perspective, we got the fast bowlers, yes, but I think what was one of the key moments or the key players in the last tour was someone like Ravichandran Ashwin as well, and
Agree.
Jadeja.
Agree.
You know, Jadeja brings in that batting, you know, key batting down the order, and with Ashwin, he just holds one end and tries to sort of toss the ball up, you know, change and do some variations, play with the batsman's mind, and that's what important as well, to give the fast bowlers a good rest in these conditions, because the Australian summer can get hot.
But the
And
Australia couldn't get on top of the spinners last time. They only went for two
exactly.
and a half and over. They bowled
Exactly.
really
And that's
well.
what absolutely, and that's what Ashwin and Jadeja need to do again and again, just repeat what they did at the last summer, so that in the last summer, so that the fast bowlers can come in and then again do
Yes,
their work.
that's critical. You're right, 100%. Very important. You let the rotate the fast bowlers rotate. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, look, lots of talk. Nathan Lyon, Josh Hazlewood, among the players, like, we need to win this series. But also
It's
from the
so
World
good to
Test,
see. It's so good to see.
we
Not
need to.
to joke or anything, but it's so, like, as a kid growing up, I
Yeah.
never saw like India win convincingly overseas, like especially in
Yeah,
Australia. And now you just take it for granted, isn't it? Like when you were a kid, you just took all the wins Australia had for granted, like, oh, we're just going to win.
I know.
Now it's sort of coming to bite you back. But for me, it's the other way around, because now I see these Australian players, and to be fair, great Australian players like Hazelwood and Lyon, say these statements that some of the players haven't had a series win against India
No, we
ever.
haven't. They haven't. Yeah, it's
And
true.
that's just mind-boggling for me. It's lovely, it's wonderful, but just surprising and mind-boggling as
Yeah, it is.
the little kid in me is still surprised.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of India fans are like that as well, pinching themselves a little bit, particularly the last series when that was amazing from where India were. And it should be a cracking series. And in the context of the World Test Championship as well, it'll go a long way to deciding whether one or both or neither of these two teams will make the final, because there's some other teams there that could make it as well. So it'd be fascinating to see. Looking forward to it. In some other news, just at the ICC level, before we go into some of the test action at the moment, Jay Shah is looking at as a possible candidate to be the ICC chairman, heading into next year. Look, one thing I did see during last week was his support of a fund for test cricket. Now, we had a debate on this a few weeks ago on the podcast, talking about what are some of the solutions that can be brought in to improve test cricket or improve the health of test cricket. I think a fund that could help make test cricket more attractive financially for players around the world would be great. And if Jay Shah can deliver on this promise or deliver on this want, if he does become chairman, that'd be great. What
Yeah,
do you reckon?
absolutely. And absolutely, I agree with that. And look, credit where credit is due. Jai Shah, I've had doubts, I've had
Yes.
criticism, but he has, as an administrator, he has done, along with his team, some good work in the BCCI. For example, supporting a team like Afghanistan with home venues inside of India, supporting teams like Nepal, supporting teams like Sri Lanka when the whole political situation in the country was not good. And also sort of in the domestic circuit itself, releasing pensions and retirement funds for ex-cricketers. So there is some good work done along the venues. And the ICC Cricket World Cup 2023 debacle is my biggest criticism.
For sure.
I'm not taking that away from him.
That was
He
bad.
completely yeah that was completely botched up. But on the flip side, there is some good work done. So when he does become, and it's not an if, it's when he does become the ICC chairman, I think we could see a bit more support for the Test cricket, given
I hope
how
so.
current Indian Test cricket veterans are in support of Test cricket,
Good point.
especially Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, Rishabh Pant, Jasprit Bumrah, to name a few. So I think India values Test cricket. India values Test cricket a lot, even though we are the land of IPL. It's there is a there is a I think there is a misconception around the world that India doesn't value Test. India values Test cricket a lot.
India juniors, they play a lot of red ball cricket.
Exactly. And every
They do.
kid growing up wants to play Test match cricket for India, just because the grounds are not full. And this is one thing I don't get. If you care about Test cricket so much, the grounds are not full. The grounds are still 20,000-25,000 in a capacity of 50,000.
And you've got
Grounds
to
in
realize
England,
as well, these are
they can
different
hold only
times as well.
17,000. Exactly.
You got a lot more people, working now. Times have changed, so people are working. So to get those crowds is still very good. And you're not going to get crowds all over the world.
Yeah,
Again, situations change, but
I
people do
saw the
follow it.
India exactly. I saw the India England series earlier, and the crowd, the stadiums were jam packed. And especially on the weekends, everyone gets out, family gets out, watches Test cricket. India performs well, everyone's happy. And that's the thing, India values Test cricket a lot, especially if you perform in Test match cricket. You hold a certain level of standard in India as a cricketer, as a
Oh, for
star.
sure. That's definitely the case in Australia too. That's where
Exactly,
you're judged
exactly.
as a test cricketer mostly.
Absolutely. And what I'm coming to is, when we do see, or if we do see, a test match fund provided by the ICC, one thing I'd like to see is three match test series. There's no more two match test series, three
Yeah, that'd be
match and
great.
more. If the countries participating can only pay for two match test series, the ICC comes in and just pays for the third or something like that. So that's the biggest sort of benefit of this test match
Yes.
fund.
Yeah, I agree. Because the thing is, right, if you can use your T20 riches to help invest in the grassroots and invest in red ball, because that's where I think T20 is huge, but you can't build a player's resilience and quality, and you know, from a young age, just based on slogging and T20, they've got to learn the basics in terms of defense first, because that's the cornerstone of your game, and then you can create everything around that. That's when you develop the really good cricketers. So, you know, if you only focus on white ball for the next 20, 30 years, I don't think we'll have great cricketers in the next couple of decades. That's my view.
And that's exactly, and that's what I would wanted to point out is what you said is, you know, use the T20 riches in and invest them into sort of the grassroots and first
Yeah, for
class
sure.
domestic structures. And that's what I can see India is doing. That's what I've seen India do after the IPL. All the money that comes in gets reinvested into, you know, we have, aside from the IPL, yes, IPL is a domestic cricket league. We have an actual T20 league which states play.
Yes, you do.
Same, you know,
You got
it
a
comes
50
under
over one as
this.
well, and yep.
We got a 50-over one, we got a under 19 50-over, we got under 19 4 days, we got under 16s 4 days, under 16s 3 days. There's so much cricket that's being played by girls and boys in India growing up. I mean, that's where the money is, that's where the money goes, and a lot of it is broadcasted as well. So under 16 finals were broadcasted a couple of years ago, I remember. So there is progress there. People just don't want to point that out, but there is progress there. A lot could be done. Yes, a lot more could be done, but what's done at the moment is a lot of progress as well.
Because ultimately, look, the ICC, I know you mentioned it really well a few weeks ago, that 80-90% of the revenue is generated from one country. But ultimately, the objective of the ICC, and it has to ensure that the state of international cricket and world cricket is in a healthy place, so that it's competitive and that other countries are developing well and all this sort of stuff as well. So you've got to consider that too. And yeah, if we can get that
And
funding, and yeah, that'd be great.
that's the thing. Like, look, it's a hard argument to make. You know, we could be here all day and all night because I could very well sit here as an Indian fan, say, you know, India hasn't taken the torch for world cricket. Like, why should we care about world cricket? We are good in India and we make money,
Yeah, of
because even
course.
if
Yeah,
we don't play
yeah.
international cricket, that's an easy argument for an Indian fan to make, right? Because we have the population, we have IPL, like money is there, right?
Yeah, of
But
course.
I don't want that. As an actual cricket fan, I want cricket to thrive on the world stage as well. So if as a if India could do something for that, well and good. But there's an argument to be made about other countries then not being greedy as well, you know, because if India is to give up their share of revenue, it has to go towards something positive for world cricket.
Course, and that's the key for the ICC to drive that. So
Yep, exactly.
yeah, agree with you on that. Speaking of the ICC, the Women's T20 World Cup coming up in October, that's been shifted from Bangladesh given everything that's going on there. It's been shifted to the UAE. There was talk could have been Zimbabwe. From a personal perspective, I would have loved it to go to Zimbabwe. I think you get some great crowds there, some great atmospheres. The UAE is definitely not the same. But I can understand with time zones, and at the end of the day, if Australia win again, that's the main thing.
And
Should be a good
look, I
tournament.
think, yeah, it should be a cracker tournament. To be honest, I would have loved it in Zimbabwe as well, but from an administration point of view, UAE makes sense, because if
Yes.
you take it to Zimbabwe, if you take it another country, all the staff have to fly down there. It's a different ball game altogether. But if you keep it in
Yep.
the UAE, you know, that's where the ICC office is basically, and it can be managed a bit more, you know, it can be managed a bit more perfectly.
I think it works better with the Indian and Southeast Asian time zone as well. So that's always a big decision there. But yeah, look, it should be a good tournament. I think again, you get there's some the nations there that can really challenge Australia. Australia gonna have to play very well to win this. So, and in those conditions as well. So it'll be really, really fascinating to see how this tournament goes, and we'll cover that when it comes around in October. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And that's been all sorted in terms of the location, and hope things get sorted out in Bangladesh sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's not looking great there, unfortunately, but it is what it is. In terms of Test cricket on at the moment, England and Sri Lanka, England are 6 for 259 in response to Sri Lanka's 236. So Sri Lanka are still in this game, but I do worry about their second innings. That's my view. I worry about their second innings batting, that third innings, and on a pitch that's doing a little bit. Do you share the same view? What do you reckon?
What I'm also seeing is England, all the strike rates are below 100. What's happening? Where's basketball? Come on. I mean, this isn't basketball. This isn't entertaining cricket. They're there to entertain, just entertain us.
What's their
What's
strike
happening?
rate? 70s. Pathetic.
70s. That's absolutely
Run
bull
rate,
crap.
4.24. You're rubbish. What's
Rubbish. Yeah,
that?
exactly. I mean, come on. 61 overs just 259. You could
Nah, no
score.
good.
That's it. No, nah, that's
What
not
about that
happening. But
ball shooting low on day one, 23rd over? What do you reckon?
It was it's interesting. I think that, as you said, the third innings is going to be really crucial. I think if Sri Lanka managed to not let England get away in this innings, I think, and put on a good score, good target, this could be a cracker test match.
Yeah, they've got to limit that lead. What is it now? 23, 4 wickets in hand. Jamie Smith is still there, 72 not out. Mark Wood can swing the bat a bit. They've got to clean this up quickly. You don't want to. They've got to get under 100 at least. You know that lead. It can't be over 100. Even then, 78 is difficult. I thought Sri Lanka bowled well at times yesterday. They got the ball reversing a bit, but just too many loose balls. You know they. Quite persist long enough, top of the stumps. They'd often drift on the pads or dish up a very, very juicy half volley to just release the pressure. I think Jamie Smith looks really good, but I just think he's so strong on the leg side. And yet the West Indies and Sri Lanka, from what I've seen, continue to feed him there. I just think outside off in the channel, he does play a little bit away from the body. Australia should be watching that. And if he's in Australia next year, that's where you target him. I don't think you move away from there against him. He likes to feel bad on ball. Pack the slip, Corden, and test his resolve in that region. He's too strong on the legs. Stop bowling there. But anyway, we'll
Absolutely.
see what happens there. Cricket in Pakistan as well. Hundreds for Rizwan and Saad Shakil. They look good. The pitch. Rawalpindi will probably flatten out, even though there was a bit of movement for Pakistan yesterday. If Bangladesh can get a good day today, then we're looking at a draw in that one. But you can't trust the Bangladeshi batting. That's all I'll say.
Oh, you can't trust Bangladesh cricket. Come
No,
on.
you
I
can't.
mean,
That's
at all.
they've got to really show some resolve. And today will be a good test against
I'm just thinking
Nathan
about
Shah is bowling well.
I'm just thinking who's going to be blamed for this if they lose this. So
The Oh man, it's like, yeah, you're right, 100%. Great point. They don't look at themselves as a collective. There's always finger pointing and blaming, and that's why they've only had flickers of good moments over however many years for a nation that's so cricket crazy. But it'll be interesting to see how they go today. Should be good batting conditions there. Fill your
Absolutely.
boots. Fill your boots.
Let's see what happens.
See what happens there. Thanks, Nash. Thanks to all the
Thank
listeners and
you.
the viewers. You can catch us on Quick Block TV on YouTube and Quick Block Pod on X and Instagram. We'll be posting some reels from this really good discussion today. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Thank you so much.